This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
The uneasiness just won't go away.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The world's stock markets just can't seem to settle down. In Tokyo today, share prices fell more than 2%. They're at their lowest level this year. In Europe, bank stocks are still taking a beating. And this is 24 hours after the European Central Bank said things were stabilizing. Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, is with us for the latest. Stephen, there seems to be no stability whatsoever.
Not quite, no. I think dealers and traders are not convinced that banks' liquidity problems are over. But now there's an additional worry following yesterday's unusual profit warning from Walmart.
Yeah, we heard the sort of doom and gloom from Walmart yesterday, but why would that have a big impact in Europe?
Well, it's because of what it says about American consumers. Walmart's boss said customers are increasingly running out of cash. And one point that's been picked up in the press here is the revelation that theft from Walmart stores has shot up so much that it's denting profits. The big worry here is that American consumption could turn down. There's a headline in the Times this morning which says it all. It says, if the Americans stop shopping, then panic.
Well, Stephen, how much of this is just panic? Is people just worried about perceptions at this point?
I think perceptions, and particularly uncertainty, is the major part of it. But there are some worrying, albeit small, signs of difficulty. Industrial output in France, Germany and Italy fell in June, and figures for the second quarter GDP growth for the Eurozone as a whole came out at just 1/3 of 1%. All this, it seems, can be traced back to the same root cause, higher interest rates.
All right. Our correspondent in London, Stephen Beard, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Today's sell-off overseas, of course, started with Wall Street yesterday. The Dow fell 207 points to 13,028, its lowest close since the end of April. The Nasdaq dropped 43 to 2,499. The S&P 500 lost 26 points. A month ago, the S&P hit a lifetime high. Since then, it's fallen 9%. The tractor company John Deere turns in its profit report this morning. John Deere's fortunes tend to rise and fall with demand for crops like corn. And these days, that means ethanol. Gabriel Spitzer reports from Chicago Public Radio.
There's been some hand-wringing lately about whether the ethanol boom might be sputtering. But Morningstar analyst John Carney says that anxiety hasn't spread to many corn farmers. So he says a bullish ethanol market should translate into solid earnings for John Deere.
It's going to help to line the farmers' pockets with more cash, which is good for Deere because it gives those farmers more buying power to go out and buy new equipment, more sophisticated equipment.
Steve Pitstick farms corn in northern Illinois. He says he just bought a John Deere 8420 model tractor last spring.
In the last year, the farm economy has gotten more like it's supposed to be, and we've been able to upgrade machinery closer to new stuff instead of being two generations removed.
Analysts polled by Thomas Financial predict profits of $1.99 a share for John Deere. Its stock is up some 23% for the year. In Chicago, I'm Gabriel Spitzer for Marketplace.
Made in China has never sounded so ominous. Yesterday, Mattel announced a second recall of Chinese-made toys, a massive recall, nearly 20 million toys, many with magnets in them and some with too much lead paint. It turns out China may have known about the magnet issue as long ago as March. Someone with the China Toy Association confirmed today the group has known about the potential dangers for several months, but she didn't explain why it took so long to do something about it.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to help children in under-resourced public schools achieve academic success in math and science. TeachForAmerica.org.
The problems in the credit market have pounded the stock market value of banks, insurance companies, and asset managers in the U.S. and Europe. $860 billion in stock market value has just vanished in recent weeks. Commentator Robert Reich isn't surprised.
America is the greatest entrepreneurial nation in the world. But there are really two kinds of entrepreneurs here, product entrepreneurs and financial entrepreneurs. And only the first kind really builds the economy. Product entrepreneurs find new ways of satisfying customers. Financial entrepreneurs find new ways of making money. 30 years ago, finance was the handmaiden of American industry. But now, industry is run by finance, and we're paying the price. Competition in the real economy generates better products, but competition in the financial economy doesn't do squat. For every speculator who wins, there's another who loses. Now, financial entrepreneurs say they make capital markets more efficient, but the added efficiencies are often minuscule. Beating rivals by a tenth of a second, or coming up with ever fancier derivatives, collateralized loan obligations, mortgage-backed securities, the results are ever harder to value. Hedge fund managers say they make financial markets more stable by diversifying risk. Baloney. When something goes wrong in one small slice of the economy, like the subprime mortgage market, their highly leveraged portfolios make the whole economy shake. Private equity moguls say they're freeing corporations from having to meet quarterly targets, but their deals weigh down companies with so much debt they have to focus on short-term cash flow more intently than ever. So what's the answer? First, force the hedge funds and private equity partnerships to disclose what they're doing so investors know the real risks. Second, bar pension funds backed by government guarantees from investing in them. Finally, level the playing field. Stop giving financial entrepreneurs huge tax advantages over product entrepreneurs. Treat their compensation as income, not capital gains, and tax their partnerships that go public at the same rate public corporations are taxed.
Robert Reich was Secretary of Labor for President Clinton. He's teaching at the University of California, Berkeley now. Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.